Hello and welcome to this episode of Self Made. I'm your host, D. Brown, CEO. Joining me on the program today is Orlando Arnold, sports executive. Orlando, welcome to the program.
D, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Now, the pleasure is all mine. So, Orlando, I know you grew up in Detroit, Michigan. Take me back in time and talk to me about your childhood and what it was like growing up in Detroit.
Oh, man, Detroit is a fun time. You know, I was born in the 80s, so, you know, right around, Motown was still thriving. The Tigers were winning. I believe we won the 84 World Series. So, obviously, I'm one of the rare guys that likes hockey, being from the Midwest. And, you know, it was just a good time growing up with my mom and my dad. And my dad taught me, you know, how to play baseball and the love of sport. And so, grew up in the church like most. And then from there, you know, I kind of matriculated on and went to Cass and graduated from Redford High School and went on down to the South shortly after that.
So what was
playing for Alabama State?
So what were some of the challenges you faced in Detroit growing up?
You know, I don't know if there were many, you know, in your face challenges, right? But when you look at what I did growing up, and a lot of us, you know, we played baseball, right? And so being black and playing baseball is not a thing. And you look at the opportunities that we had good ones, but if you look at how the game has morphed now, you know, with the advent of the RBI program for Major League Baseball and their diversity and initiative issues, the breakthrough series of what they're doing, those things weren't around, you know, so you didn't know where the top level talent, inner city talent was when I was coming up, you know, and the reason I harp on the sports aspect is because obviously I'm a sports executive and sports has fueled me through the majority of my career, both on the field and off the field. And looking back, I think you just kind of realize that, you know, you wish you had some of the opportunities that some of these young men and young women have now,
right,
in the game of sport, especially if you're a person of color in a sport where that's not the majority ethnicity. Right. We're not talking about basketball or football. We're talking about baseball and in a young lady's case, softball. Right.
Yeah.
We always had to find a place to play in terms of making sure that people recognized us and saw us for the talent that we were.
Yeah. So what about high school? What was it like playing baseball and in high school there in Detroit, as well as just in general? What was your high school experience like?
High school was good. I guess I was the product of going to a school in the Midwest, right? Midwest is basketball country. And so, you know, I joke about that. Only certain schools in the city, you know, had, I guess, adept baseball coaches. Now, my coaches cared, right? But my freshman coach, my sophomore coach when I was on varsity, he was a good guy. Then he left. And then, I mean, I coached my junior and senior year as a hockey coach. But when you're growing up in a Midwest town who – you know, doesn't necessarily emphasize baseball, that's what you're going to get. A teacher that was at the school. Now, he was a great guy. He tried his best. But you fast forward that to what young men and women are getting now, or even a few years later after I graduated, right? The big travel ball circuit was born the year I graduated high school. You know, so what we see now on an everyday basis or every summer is not what was going on when I was coming out of high school. And that's because you had a more specialization, not only in baseball, but in your football and your basketball, getting coaches who really knew the game and really wanted to pour into the student athletes.
So talk to me about your matriculation from Detroit to the South, Alabama State College, right? So talk to me about that and what that experience was like.
Well, it was a good one. I had a couple scholarship offers. You know, everybody thinks they're going to go big major D1 coming out of high school. I was one of them. You know, I tell people all the time, my top three was Florida State, Miami, and LSU. That's where I wanted to go, in Michigan. Yeah. I'm a huge Michigan fan. But I played baseball, right? And so growing up in the Midwest, I played games and, you know, where we had snow flurries, you know, my senior season. So I knew that I wanted to go south.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate enough to really realize I was good, but I could do just as much damage at a HBCU. And, you know, it was still the Division I A level. So we still played the same schools in the non-conference season. And Coach Larry Watkins, who's in the SWAC Hall of Fame, blessed me with an opportunity, a scholarship to come down there and play. And, you know, with my mom being from Alabama, it wasn't foreign. I had many summers in the state in Birmingham. So I was just going an hour and a half south to Montgomery. And that's probably one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
So what was the experience like playing baseball at Alabama State?
I mean, the experience was different. You playing college baseball, right? You don't have anybody waking you up, telling you to go to class. You don't, you know, there's more expected of you. This is for the first time ever that I practice all year round. You know, that's not nothing new these days, right? But right. I mean, I'm 40, you know, so 20 years ago, certain people weren't practicing all, especially if you're from the Midwest. If you're from the South, maybe. But when you're from the Midwest, you're not practicing all year round. And I played multiple sports as well. Obviously, baseball was the best one. But it was I tell young guys that I mentor now and even clients that I represent, understand that you're going, and I realize this my freshman year, understand that you were the man where you were. You were all-star, you were all this and all that where you were. Now you're going to a team where you have teammates who are the same thing where they come from.
Right.
And so either you up your game, you're going to be more disciplined, or you're not going to make it.
Right.
I learned that very quickly my freshman year. But the experience was different. It was good, but it was different. You know, you think about what it's like to be a college athlete, right? Playing D1 athletics. And it was like, man, I'm actually doing this. You know, I'm recognized on campus as a freshman as, hey, he's on the baseball team. And you sometimes you take it for granted, but as you're going through it, as you're matriculating through it, you realize how much of an honor it is. And especially now, looking back, I mean, I even think our group of our high school group of guys that played in the City League, a lot of us had offers. I was the only one that saw through the 4 years. And so even in that statistic and that ratio in itself was different. But it was a good experience. It was a different experience. It was a learning experience. It was a growing experience.
So now you own your own sports agency. Give my viewers, yes, number one, the name of your agency, but tell us the journey that you went on to go from college athletics to now being the CEO of your own company.
It was a journey, that's for sure. That's for sure. So Pyramid Sports and Entertainment Group is a full-service sports agency. We represent players in the National Football League, players in Major League Baseball, so NFL and MLB players. Also, we have a few sports executives as well. And the journey was a unique journey to get to where I am now. After, obviously, you all know I played college baseball, as we talked about it. After that, I decided to go get my MBA. And so I wanted to get more education just to prepare myself for what if in life. And then from that point, I got into sales. So I didn't know that I liked the world of sales and selling and talking. I knew I had a good personality because right after college, I was in radio TV. I had my own sports talk radio show on the campus station because I was a communications graduate. And I figured if I don't make it in the MLB, I'll go be like Stuart Scott. Rest in peace. And that's who I looked up to in that aspect. That's why I said, okay, this is who I can do. This is what I can do. But then shortly I realized, like, all right, I'm 23, 24, 5 years old. I see some of the same people on the news that I saw when I was 6, 7, 8. They're not going anywhere. And in 2003, 4, and 5, there wasn't Instagram. There wasn't YouTube. There wasn't podcasts. There wasn't Twitter Spaces and Sphere. There wasn't all these different mediums where you could host content. We didn't even talk about the word content back then, right?
Right.
So quickly, I jumped into sales. I jumped into hospitality, where I sharpened my skills there. And then I got into pharmaceutical sales, where my career kind of took off a little bit and, you know, made it on up to a national level in terms of training and management. And then from that point is where I realized, talking to friends, I still have friends that played in the league. I was doing some stuff in the state of Alabama with Major League Baseball on the volunteer side. I was over the RBI program, which I talked about earlier. And I realized that, in my opinion, it needed to be a different level of care for representation for our professional athletes. People that kind of looked at you more than just a dollar sign. And so that's when I started to do the research on the industry. I started to do the research on what it took to be in the industry. Realized I had already had the education. Realized that what I was doing already between sales and helping young athletes in the River Region, the Alabama area, get to college was just the next level of being a sports agent. And then when I broke it down, I realized the two things I love was sales and sports. And the best opportunity for me to make that next was becoming a sports agent. So I just resigned from pharma, took the requisite test, and I said, I'm going to build a pyramid from the ground up. And so we've been doing that nearly 7 years now. So it's been a journey. It's been a blessing, but, you know, still got ways to go.
So what would you say has been your number one challenge in terms of building your business from the ground up?
You don't know what you don't know. You can get mentors all day long, and I have some great ones, but you don't know what you don't know. And so you don't know what questions to ask them to avoid pitfalls, right? You don't know that, you know, you're going to need a lot of working capital to establish a business. You don't know that you're going to need to, they're going to be long nights. Yeah, you know, you have to work hard, right? You know, if that's what you want to do. But I think the biggest challenge is not only reintroducing yourself and building your brand, but sometimes when something is independently owned, we're so fixated sometimes on the big structure, the big model, when the medium or the smaller model can get just as much, if not more, done if given a chance. So I think if that's been one of the challenges is just, you know, A, you don't know what you don't know, and then two, just kind of define the odds, define the stereotypes.
Yeah.
But, you know, with every challenge, there's been a success.
So I often talk to people about, you know, the stereotypes that as African-Americans, we often face in business. What are some of the stereotypes you've had to overcome just on your journey to get where you are?
You know, I get asked all the time, who do you work for? And it's funny because I do it all the time. I do it because I know where they're getting at. You know, they'll hit me with, oh, who do you work for? You know, I remember I was recruiting a baseball family, actually about 4 years ago. And the dad and the mom loved me. The young man loved me. They said, okay, well, you know, do you have to go back and, you know, talk to your boss? And I said, yeah, I have to go talk to my boss. I already talked to him. I said, you looking at my boss?
Right.
And he said, oh, wait a minute. You know, wow. Right. Or I'll get somebody that, well, and this is kind of a good thing too, but I know they're kind of fluffing off. I'll get somebody to ask me who I work for, and I know they don't know me. Right. And in a sense, maybe in the early years, not so now, but in the earlier years, when I was really just getting started, I said, who do you work for? Pyramid? Oh, I've heard of them. Yeah. They're right. The company such and such. And I just go along. I just say, yeah. You know, it's like, come on. You know, but I think the biggest stereotype is understanding that, you know, I am the co-founder and CEO, and that we can handle any and everything that anybody else can handle. But once people get comfortable in that model, especially being African-American, understanding that we can handle business, we can execute deals, we can handle it just as well as the next man or woman. And that's not just for my company specifically, but that's for all small to medium-sized agencies, right? or independent business owners in whatever industry they're in, as I'm sure you know.
Right.
Just overcoming it, you know, because all it takes is one person to mess it up for somebody else.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So talk to me about some of the clients you represent, what sports they're in, and kind of what your reach is in terms of your agency.
Yeah. So reach is, you know, if you look at the age of clients, you know, when you add in baseball, you know, you can be someone's advisor, which is, you know, a form of representation, all as early as they become a prospect. So that may be their freshman year of high school. That may be their, you know, senior year of high school, or maybe junior year of college, whatever it is. Right. And so we have, you know, baseball, MLB prospects, various levels, college, high school. Kyle Battles, one of my guys with the Yankees organization. Jonathan Thomas with the Nationals. He just got drafted last year. He's doing well this year. Jefferson Figueroa with the Brewers. Khalil Pimpleton with the New York Giants. Jonathan Ward, who's been viral a couple times for some of his plays and during his last few seasons, is with the Tennessee Titans. And I got plenty of other guys that we have. And Chandler Wooten's with the Panthers. So, and then our one executive is Jennifer Lynn Williams, who's a USA basketball executive. So we have a nice breadth. We try to keep it in the scope of, you know, kind of what we're doing and what we want. But anything, all things NFL and MLB, with a little dash of sports executives, we definitely have our hands in. And then aside from that, I do public speaking and I consult on different topics and different things as well.
So if I'm an athlete, high school, college, et cetera, and I'm trying to make it to the pros, so what's the process of me getting in touch with you, and what's that process like? And then also, what's your selection process? What are you evaluating to even determine that you want to take that particular prospect on as a client?
Well, let's do it this way. It's the easiest way to contact me. I get calls all the time. You can find me on the NFLPA website, literally, honestly. And I know I'm saying this to a national audience, but it don't matter. I'm on social media. My Instagram is OA, the agent. That's the same thing for my Twitter. My LinkedIn is Orlando Arnold, MBA. Our company page is Pyramid Sports Group. You'll be able to find an email there to get not only to myself, but our wonderful team and other team of agents as well. You know, I would say what we look for more than just a person that can play the game, right? We you know, 9 times out of 10, when we're speaking with somebody, it's somebody who has a pro perspectives, right? We reached out to the scouts and the teams beforehand and saying and identified this is a young man that has a chance, a real chance to be in the league. Because only 1% of student athletes from college go to the NFL or go to the MLB, right? Or go to pro sports in general. So, you know, when we're looking at that, we see that as somebody we want to work with. But more importantly, we like working with genuine families, genuine people that have goals in addition to off the field things, right? We're real big. Everybody at our company has combined over 30 years of corporate experience. And most of us are former athletes. So we understand what that transition is like. It happened a little earlier for us, but we understand what that is like. And so we're real big on setting our guys up for success off the field while they're still playing. So when that time is over, you know, they already have a path of a plan B. So many of our athletes out there don't know what to do after they're done playing because so much of their life has been engulfed into playing and just doing that. Even if they've gotten a college degree, they went to school because they had to keep playing.
Right.
Right. And so that the other side of them is sometimes have never had the chance to develop and think about what do you want to do after sport? And so we try to jog that process. Now, some guys we get, they automatically know this is what I need you to help me on. And some we have to help cultivate that. But everything is unique, a unique process. Everything's tailored to each individual young man. And that's the thing that brings joy to us the most, knowing that they see a future beyond the sport because they're going to play. They're right. Going to do what they're going to do on the field. Right. And we're going to support them on the field, marketing, branding, whatever that is. But making sure you have a long term goal for life is the big key component for us.
Now, you know, one of the big things with athletes, professional athletes, is that a lot of them, as you were just talking about, they finish their career and they either don't know what to do next, but also there has traditionally been a significant number that ended up, you know, actually broke and with nothing to show from all those years of hard work. What type of things are you doing as an agency to try to make sure your athletes don't end up being one of those statistics?
It's information. Information is key. And, you know, the more you inform your guys, the more you set them up for success, the more you provide them layers and help build out plans, the more you can kind of keep them from being anything in the negative end.
Yeah.
And so what that looks like is specifically is each offseason we sit down, we talk, we build, we look at what you said you wanted to accomplish last offseason. Did we accomplish that? If we didn't, why didn't we accomplish that? And then we have a plan in place. And it's almost like a building block. Each offseason is one pillar on top of the next.
Right.
And so there's a succession plan in place.
So I tell people all the time, one of the best words you'll ever learn is no, right? And mm-hmm. so anytime you are the person mm-hmm. in the family or in the circle who made it big, everyone has a big idea. Everyone has a bright idea. They want you to invest in this, loan them this. So how are you teaching your athletes to deal with the pressure that comes from being the success story in the family and in the friendship circle?
Well, the first thing is every one of my clients knows I'm not a yes man. I never have been.
Right.
And I tell them up front, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to, you know, myself or Christina or Courtney or Ernest, anybody in our company, we're not yes people, right?
Right.
And so we don't tell you what you want to hear. We tell you what you need to hear.
Right.
And in that aspect, how do we prevent that is we give them real world examples of people who kept hearing yes. And this is what happens, whether that's doing our financial education we work with Taryn Bushrod, the Money Playbook, and she puts real world stuff in front of them, right? About this is what can happen if people keep telling you yes. Whether it's having utilizing the resources, whether if it's NFL guys with the PA or MLB guys with the PA, and just having people talk to them. And I think that goes back to the information piece. But when you take it to this far, it's showing them real examples when people getting told yes.
Yeah.
But it starts with us. It starts with us first. It starts with us telling them no and explaining to them why. That it's important for them to say no on this endeavor.
Right. So on this business journey that you've been on building a business from ground up, what are you most proud of all your accomplishments?
Oh, that I'm still here. you know, I'm proud of what we stand for. I'm proud of our reputation. I'm proud that we have character and credibility and truth. It's just been a blessing. You know, I wouldn't have made it anywhere, you know, to this point without the Lord. And so, but I'm most proud that we're here and that we're having, we're growing in a sense, right? We're now at the phase where we're continuing to grow. We're now at the phase where, you know how it is when you're in a room, you know, you keep showing up in the same room and it's like, I think I need to talk to this person. I've seen this person here year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right?
Right.
And anything in business and industry, when you're at conferences or you're at conventions and people keep seeing you, they keep seeing your name and likes, they keep seeing your clients doing well, they keep seeing your clients having activations, and it's like, Pyramid got lasting power. This is a player. You know, so I think that's the most proud of. And more importantly, I couldn't do anything without the people that I work with, you know, whether it's, you know, Ernest is our COO, or Christina Ross is our VP and general counsel, Courtney Funch is our director of football ops. I can't, I'm here. I'm the CEO, right? But couldn't do anything without them. It's a team effort. You know, they know how to tell me no.
Right, right.
So it's you know, that's I'm most proudest of that, building upon, you know, kind of what the envision that we had moving forward.
One final question. We have about 30 seconds left, but I want to get this out. So I know you are a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
And I am.
Even though I'm a proud noob, I just want to give you a moment to just talk about.
I knew that because you got that red tone.
That's right. But just tell me the importance of AFIA in your professional and personal life.
Oh, man. Being a brother Alpha Phi Alpha is the best. You know, all jokes aside, being a member of the D9 is an honor, right? I think it gives you a network. It gives you a bond. But more importantly, when you don't have structure, it gives you structure. And for me, coming through Beta Whoop at Alabama State in undergrad, it really showed me and helped build the steps that if I can make it through that while I'm in college, while I'm playing baseball, I can make it through anything, right? And just the thing that we stand for on a national level, getting back into the community and enriching several things, I think it's just I'm a proud Alpha man. I'm being
Orlando,
honest, you know?
Look, it's been my pleasure having you on the show. We're out of time, but man, I enjoyed it. To my viewers, I want to thank you for watching this episode of Self Made. I'm your host, D Brown, CEO. And remember, without you, there's no me.